Find the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. About two-thirds of the way through the New Testament is the book of Hebrews, and right before it is one little 25-verse book of Philemon. We'll not read the entire 25 verses this morning, just the first 7 verses. So we're going to learn some things about this man named Philemon. The book of Philemon, verse number 1, we'll read down through verse number 7. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible. The book of Philemon, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communicating of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for this Father's Day. This day, God, to honor those that, Father, have fulfilled the role of being a dad. God, what a special role that is. What an important place it holds in our lives and in our society. God, so many things we could say about the leadership and the role of a father in a home, the blessing he is, and Father, the tragedy when it is lacking. But Father, as we look at this man Philemon this morning, I pray you'd use from his life some characteristics that we might be challenged by. Lord, that we might look at his life and he might be, in a sense, a role model of what we think of as a father here this morning. We pray, God, you'd bless each and every one that's here. We pray for your word to penetrate our heart and to speak to our minds, to shape our attitudes, Father, to make us different from the world in which we live in. We pray, Father, especially should there be one today that's never put their faith and trust in Christ, that God, today would be the day that they come to him and make him their heavenly Father. Bless your word and the preaching of it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Philemon is a book about three individuals. It's about, first of all, Paul, who wrote this epistle. It's about Philemon, the man to whom it is written to, and it's about Onesimus, the man it's written about. There are other characters, or other men that are mentioned, other people that are mentioned in this book, both male and female, but they're the three main characters. The Apostle Paul is writing this book from a prison cell in Rome. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon are all epistles that Paul wrote while he was imprisoned in Rome because of his faith. While Paul was there in the prison cell, another prisoner was put either in the cell with him, in the cell nearby, or somewhere close enough for Paul to talk to. His name was Onesimus. He was a servant of the man that we know as Philemon, who had come all the way from Colossae to Rome. Now, Colossae to Rome is about 1,700 miles. That's quite a journey. It took him quite a while to get that far. And the reason that Onesimus had gone that far was he was running away from his master, Philemon. The Bible tells us in verse number 16 that Onesimus was a servant to Philemon, and he had stolen something, according to verse number 19. He had stolen something from his master's home and then had fled and gone as far away as he possibly could to blend into the big metropolis in Rome, hoping never to be discovered. We don't know what transgression he committed in Rome, but while he was there, his nature was to steal apparently anyways. So somehow he got caught doing something and got captured and thrown into that same prison cell where abode the Apostle Paul. While Paul was there with Onesimus in that cell, he began to witness to this young servant that had fled, stolen from his master, and fled from him. And somehow during the conversation, Onesimus received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Paul led him to Christ in that prison cell. That tells us a lot about the character of Paul, first of all. That there in that prison, he's not worried about himself and licking his sores and complaining about his circumstances, but he is being a witness for Jesus Christ. What a great challenge for us, you and I that are not in a prison cell, not being mistreated, to be a witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Paul witnessed to Onesimus, and Onesimus came to faith in Christ. And lo and behold, as he began to talk to young Onesimus, he found out that he was a servant, that he had stolen from his master, and that he had fled all the way from the city of Colossae to Rome to try to hide out. And as Paul talked with him, he found out that he was a servant of a man named Philemon. And as chance would have it, or as divine intervention would have it, Paul and Philemon were good friends. In fact, on one of Paul's missionary journeys, Philemon had come to hear Paul preach and had been converted and was one of Paul's spiritual children himself. And so as Paul talked to Onesimus and found out that he was a servant of his very good friend Philemon, whom he'd stolen something from and fled over here to Rome, he encouraged young Onesimus to make his life right. You've stolen from him. You've taken something that belongs to him. Now that you've put your faith in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. You're no longer a thief. But you need to make some restitution for that which you did. You need to go back to Philemon. You need to apologize to him. Repent of what you've done and restore to him. Give him back whatever it is that which you took from him. You need to make peace with your past. For many folks, when they come to faith in Christ, there's some wrongs they need to right. There's some corrections they need to make. Now, we can't go back and fix all the things we did before we got saved. But in a situation like this, Paul encouraged Onesimus to deal with that which he'd done, to go back and make restitution, to apologize. And so in order to help Onesimus to go back to Philemon, of whom I'm sure he was nervous to go back to him, he said, I'll tell you what, Onesimus, I'll write a letter to Philemon. And you go back to Colossae and take that letter with you. And here, I've got a friend here that comes to visit me named Tychicus. I'll send him with you. And the two of you can take that letter back to Colossae. If you read the last chapter of the book of Colossians, chapter 4, near the end, this covers all these details I'm talking about Tychicus going with Onesimus back to Colossae to see Philemon and give him the letter. And Paul says to Philemon in verse number 19, or verse 18, let's say, if he hath wronged thee or owed thee anything, put that on mine account, Paul says. I, Paul, have written it. I will, with mine own hand, I will repay it. He says to Philemon, forgive Onesimus for what he's done. If you can't forgive him, if he owes you a debt that you're not willing to forgive, let me know and I'll pay it for him. We call that the doctrine of imputation. That's the theological term for that. Put that on my account, Paul says. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and I on Calvary's cross. He took our sins. We put it on His account so that it was paid for. Paul says to him, put it on my account. But he says in verse 19, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest to me even thine own self besides. Philemon, you've been forgiven your sins because I preached to you the gospel and you trusted Christ as your Savior. Now Onesimus is coming back. Forgive him if you would. Forgive him the debt he owes. Receive him back, he says in verse number 16, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So that's what the book of Philemon is all about. But I want to focus on just this man, Philemon, right now, because he is an upstanding man. He is a man of characteristics that you and I can have no problem following. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me. There are many biblical characters that we can follow them so far. Philemon is one of those men. Let's look at Philemon here this morning. First of all, I want you to see in verse number 1 that he was, and we've already said this, a friend of Paul. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved. Our dearly beloved. When the Apostle Paul calls someone dearly beloved, that's a pretty good compliment. It's one thing to say, well, I love Paul. Paul is my friend. But here's Paul saying, I love Philemon. Philemon is my friend. Kind of like, if we can say it this way, the big dog and the little dog. Here's the great Apostle Paul. And not only is Philemon saying, hey, I'm with him. He's my friend. But the big dog saying, that's my friend. I know it's my secular mind, but I think of John Rambo and Colonel Troutman. Now, some of you can follow and some of you can't. John Rambo, the big dog, and Colonel Troutman, the little dog. And I always see Colonel Troutman saying, I'm with him. I'm with John. Yeah, I'm with Rambo. That's my man right there. And who wouldn't do that? You want that guy. That's my friend right there. But for the big guy to say, this is my friend, that's a whole other story. The guy that doesn't need the friendship and says, this is my friend. A guy that's really insignificant to him or not important or necessary for him, but to say, he's my dearly beloved. That's what we've got with Paul addressing Philemon. Paul, the Apostle Paul, this is a challenge, was a friend maker. He was a friend maker. In the book of Acts, when Paul travels on his three missionary journeys, as you read through that and all the people he came in contact with on the island of Crete and the cities he went to on the continents, every place he went, when you read through, there are 80 to 90 different names of people to whom Paul interacted in the book of Acts alone. He was a man that was comfortable getting to know other people. He was a man that easily made friends with strangers. Those of you that remember our son Josh. Josh had that characteristic. He didn't know a stranger. He wasn't with us when we moved into this building, but our old church there on Madison Avenue, he would sit about where Ken's sitting back there, but it was a smaller church and it was in it. He sat right in the back corner where nobody could get in or get out without going past him. And of course, the first thing he'd ask for is gum. You got any gum? You got any candy? But that didn't matter. Stranger, foreigner. But everybody he talked to knew him. Everybody he talked to, he didn't know a stranger. I'd take him to Walmart. But he knew everybody in there. And he could talk to anybody in there. I admire that characteristic because when I go to Walmart, I'm trying to get in and out as fast as I can and not talk to anybody. And I admire guys that are like that, are very outgoing and talkative. And I try to challenge myself to be more like that. Paul was like that. That was part of the success in his ministry, in his missionary journeys. 80 to 90 people that he met in the book of Acts. Look, if you would, at Romans chapter 16. Now, I know this is about Philemon, and we're talking a lot about Paul, but we'll get there in just a moment. Look at Romans chapter 16. Just kind of take a glance down. We don't have time to look in detail, but notice Romans 16. In these first 15 verses, Paul names 27 people. He sends greeting to 27 people. Do you know 27 people? 27 friends? Let's put it this way. 27 people in a city he's never been to. 27 people in a place he's never visited. How does he know him? He's been everywhere, all over the continents in those places. He's met people and had people heard his preaching and been converted. And they have all congregated. The book of Romans is written to the believers in Rome. They've all gone to Rome for one reason or another. And there's 27 people in Rome that Paul's never seen in Rome, but he knows them and they're all there. And he lists all their names in verse 1, Phoebe. Verse 3, Priscilla and Aquila. We'll talk about them more in a minute. Verse 5, Epaphroditus. Verse 6, Mary. Verse 7, Andronicus and Junia. Verse 8, Amplius, Urbane, Sacacus, Apelles, Aristobulus, Herodian in verse number 11, his kinsman, Narcissus, Tryphena and Tryphosa. I like those names. Rufus, verse number 13. All those ones in verse 14. Verse 15, all these different people. Paul was a friend maker. Paul had friends everywhere that he went. There are other names in his other epistles of more people that add to that list. He had friends everywhere. Now, the point I'm trying to make as we get back to Philemon, out of all the friends he had and all the people he knew, he says of Philemon, wherever Philemon went here, He says to Philemon in verse 1, our dearly beloved. You know, there's only one other person Paul said that about? Timothy. Timothy was his dearly beloved son in the faith. Philemon had such a special place in the heart of Paul that he said about him and Timothy, he called Philemon our beloved brother. Philemon was a friend of Paul. Secondly, look at verse number 1. Not only did he say our dearly beloved, but he said and fellow laborer. He's a friend of Paul. He is a fellow laborer. I think that's kind of part of the reason that Paul and Philemon were such good friends. They had a common mission. They had a common goal. They had a common, our phrase today is, worldview. And that is that the world needs Jesus Christ. Philemon was not a missionary. He went on no missionary journeys. He traveled to no foreign cities, as far as we can tell. He never left Colossae. Even when his servant Onesimus fled from him, he did not travel abroad and go look for him. He never left that place. But Paul called him a fellow laborer. Some have suggested that Philemon was the pastor at the church at Colossae. There's nothing internally in the Bible that indicates that. It does say down there in verse, that verse, at the end of verse number 2, and to the church in thy house. That doesn't mean he was the pastor necessarily, but it means that they came to his house. He opened his house. We'll talk about Philemon and his financial status in just a moment, but he seemed to have a spacious place compared to others, and he opened it up for people to come to and have their church services there, except when there was a COVID or... He called, Paul called him a fellow laborer. Again, that is a term that Paul used for Timothy. Fellow laborer. He called others, those in Romans 16, if we took time to read, he said, my helpers in Christ. Now that's not a bad thing to be a helper, but that's not a fellow laborer. He calls Archippus in verse number 2, our fellow soldier, and there's others called that in Scripture, and that's a good thing, a fellow soldier, that's great, but that's not a fellow laborer. He calls some fellow servants. We're all servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good term, but that's not a fellow laborer. You see the difference between them? And then the closest word he also uses is fellow workers. But a fellow laborer is that does more than a fellow worker does. Philemon was a fellow laborer. Someone that put his nose to the grindstone, as it were, that was faithful in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, that did all that he could, that Paul would refer to him as a fellow laborer, to be a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. That would look good on your resume. If somebody asked you, well, you know, who do you know? Well, the Apostle Paul's my friend. Not only that, we are fellow laborers. Now, Philemon, there's no indication he would have used that for bragging rights. But he was a fellow laborer. I'll be careful to point out in verse number 24, it does also refer to Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, and Lucas as fellow laborers. But that title Paul used sparingly. To be a fellow laborer. To challenge to you and I to be fellow laborers with the servants of God. Not just fellow soldiers, which is great. Not just helpers, which is good. Not just fellow servants, which is fantastic, and not even just fellow workers putting our efforts into it occasionally and from time to time, but fellow laborers. Labor means sweating. Labor means extensive effort. Labor means putting our back into it. Paul said of Philemon, he is a fellow laborer. That's pretty good. A friend, a fellow laborer. Then look on, if you would, to verse number 2. And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Not only was he a friend of Paul and a fellow laborer, but he was, and I how do you categorize these and put these in the right order? He was a family man. Philemon was a fellow laborer and a friend of Paul, but at the same time, he was dedicated to his family. You see that name in verse number 2? And to our beloved Apphia. As far as we can tell, and again, there's nothing in Scripture that tells us that, but by everything I've read and researched and studied, everybody is in agreement that Apphia is Philemon's wife. And so he and his wife were together in serving God. What a blessing. What a wonderful thing. In our society today, it is a rare thing where husband and wife are together in being fellow laborers. Our beloved Apphia. And yet, is that not the will of God? The Bible says, let us not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We are to, believers are to marry believers. And the purpose of that is as if they have a common goal and a common cause. And that common goal and cause ought to be to serve and to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, it doesn't happen all the time, but that ought to be the goal. And here you've got a man named Philemon who is a friend of Paul and a fellow laborer, and he's also a family man. He's got his wife in on the ride with him. You realize how rare that is? You're saying, well, preacher, yeah, this is 2020. You realize how rare that is? There's 80 to 90 names mentioned in the book of Acts. There's 27 mentioned at the end of Romans. You know how many married couples are mentioned by the Apostle Paul out of all those people? Now, there probably are more, but you know how many are mentioned out of all those names? Aquila and Priscilla. We read them in Romans chapter 16. Aquila and Priscilla, who were tent makers of like occupation with Paul, whom he met when he was in the city of Corinth. He was out there working in the marketplace, making tents alongside with them, and befriended them. Found out they were believers or became believers. And outside of Philemon and Apphia, the only couple that I can find in Scripture, and you can correct me if you find another one. Now, I'm not talking about before Paul. I know early in the book of Acts, there's Ananias and Sapphira. Let's not throw that couple into this mix. We're talking about good couples right now. I know there's Joseph and Mary, and that was a good one before. There's others, Abraham and Sarah. But I'm talking about in the ministry of Paul. In all of his travels and all the places he went in his society, which was modern compared to Abraham and Sarah, the only couples he ever mentioned are Aquila and Priscilla and Philemon and Apphia. But Paul could say to them, greet them, our beloved Apphia and Archippus. Now again, there's no internal evidence. We don't know all the details, but it is most commonly believed that Archippus is the son of Philemon and Apphia. And if so, that would make sense. He is called a fellow soldier, which means his dad raised him right. It is believed that he is the pastor. By reading the end of Colossians or Philippians, I forget which it is, by reading the end, it's believed that he is now the pastor. Archippus is the pastor of the church at Laodicea, which is only 12 miles away from Colossae. And so here's this man raised in the home of Philemon and Apphia, who is now pastoring a church over in the city close by, where he can come back and visit mom and dad often enough until Paul writes this letter. Writing back to Philemon, it says, greet your wife, greet your son. He's my fellow soldier in the Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing. Paul said, I think it's in 3 John, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in the truth. Now, the Apostle Paul was speaking of spiritual children to that place because as far as we know, he didn't have any physical children. But he's speaking of his spiritual children, but he said simply this, I rejoice to know that my children are walking in the ways of God. And here's a man named Philemon who had such a family. His wife accompanied him. His son grew up under his influence and grew up to be the pastor or the man that he was. All because Philemon was a family man. Think of it this way. outside of your Bible, outside of that book right there, the most important physical thing in this world is your family. You're not free to choose your family. And sometimes if we were, we wouldn't choose the ones we got. We're free to choose our friends, but not our family. But they are our family. And the best thing we can do is be a positive influence and a positive reminder of the ways of Christ to those in our family. He was a family man, our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier. Then move on, if you would, down to verse number 5. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Hearing of thy love and of thy faith. He was a man of faith. Philemon was a man of faith. I believe that both Apphia and Archippus in that household saw times where his faith was challenged. Times where his faith was tested. Because everyone who has faith has times of being challenged and tested. If we're not tested, then we don't have faith. Faith that's not tried and tested is not faith. James went into great detail to cover those two areas in James chapter 1, both trials and temptations, not the same thing. The trying of our faith worketh patience. Apphia as a faithful wife, Archippus as a faithful son growing up in the home, saw the faith of their father tested, and he came through more times than he failed. Philemon was human, he was a man, so we're not going to stand here and say, well, every time his faith was tested, he came forth shining like gold. You know why I don't think he did? Because nobody else does either. Even the Apostle Paul, sometimes when his faith was tested, did not come through shining. So Philemon, I'm sure, had his ups and downs, but there were more ups than there were downs, and enough that his wife and his son followed him as a man of faith. Hearing of thy love and thy faith toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. An outstanding characteristic of this man, Philemon, was his faith. Hearing of thy love and faith. You know, love and faith are often combined together in Scripture. Love and faith can't be separated. If you have faith, you'll have love. And here it says, of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. If we have faith in God, we'll have faith in one another. I like that. If we have faith in God, we'll have faith in one another. That doesn't mean that sometimes our friends, our Christian friends, aren't going to fail. Doesn't mean sometimes they're not going to be tripped up or that we're not going to. But we have faith toward the Savior, love toward the Savior, faith toward the saints, love toward the saints, and these two go hand in hand. We might call them the twin attributes of love and faith. Let me read you a few verses that put these two together. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all saints. Faith and love go together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse number 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Faith and love go together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 8 says, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. That's not that breastplate in Ephesians 6, but in 1 Thessalonians 5. The breastplate covering our chest with faith and love helps us defeat the devil. Then fourthly, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. The grace of our Lord was excessively abundant with faith and love. Are you a man of faith this morning? Are you a woman of faith? Do people see that faith in us? They saw it in Philemon. They saw it in his wife. They saw it in his son. He was a man of faith. Look down, if you would, down at verse number 7. Verse number 6. Who ordered the rain? People are running out. They didn't know it was coming. You ordered it and it's been delivered. And their windows are down. Philemon, verse number 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Notice that phrase at the beginning of the verse. That the communication of thy faith. Let me take that phrase and explain to you that that faith is not talking about a verbal communication. The communication of thy faith is not meaning that he's speaking it out and sharing it with others, though Philemon without doubt did that. But the communication of the faith shows that Philemon was a man of finance. He was a man of means. He was a man of significant income in the city of Colossae. A house big enough to welcome the church in, to have it where others wouldn't necessarily be able to do that. A household that had a servant named Onesimus that waited on the people that stole something and ran away. Something of great value without doubt. But Philemon was a man of finance. To show that that's what this means, look at Philippians chapter 4. We'll give a comparison verse so we understand what this communication is about. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, notice this, no church communicated, all right, there's our word, that the communication of thy faith, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. The church at Philippi, Paul said to them, out of all the churches in Macedonia, of all the churches in that region, only one of the churches was faithful to me in supporting my missionary efforts. The Apostle Paul sailed on his three different missionary journeys, went to all those different places. He did so at no one's personal expense. He made tents in Corinth at one time to try to make some money for himself. And only one church out of all the churches he went to, only one church communicated with him as far as giving and receiving is concerned. You see the letters that we have around the walls on the side. 45 plus letters. These are missionaries in whom we communicate with. Not just by email, not just by written letter, but we communicate in giving and receiving. We give to them to keep them on the mission field. We receive the blessing of souls won to Christ. Paul said about Philemon, he was one of those. He said that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. May God reward you, Philemon, for your faithful financial giving to my mission calling. See the connection between these two men? A friend, a fellow laborer, a family man of faith, a man of finance. He is helping out the Apostle Paul in his ministry. What a blessing it is for you and I to be able to give back to God. I finally, getting on a personal note, I finally, on June 15th, got my income tax refund back. Took a long time for the government to give me back that ton of money that I get. And I had the blessing this morning. I get excited. I look forward to it. I didn't write my normal tithe check for my normal weekly income, but I got to write one including the money that I got back on my tax refund to add that to that. And I can't tell you this. I got that. That does more for me than watching my team win the football game. Well, maybe not that much. But if it was Michigan, no, it doesn't do that. But I anticipated all week long being able to write that check and put it in today. Why? The communication of our faith. That is the communication of our faith. Giving to the work of God. Giving to the things of God. Giving to the people of God. Giving to the church of God. That's the communication of our faith. He was a man of finance. You know why he was such a blessed man? Because he was faithful in communicating his faith. A challenge for you and I. How well do we communicate? Now, I'm not talking about the words coming out of your mouth. We don't judge your spirituality by the words coming out of your mouth. Because I've seen people that could talk the talk that don't walk the walk. But how about the communication of our faith? Philemon was a blessed man. He was a great example. He was such a close friend of the Apostle Paul. He said, I want to have a part in his ministry. I want to have a part in what he's doing. And I'm here in Colossae. I can't go over to Macedonia. I can't go over to Greece. I can't go to Italy. I can't go to Rome. But I can go by way of the Apostle Paul. I'll support him so he can go. That's the communication of our faith. He was a man of finance. Then lastly, verse number 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints, like this, are refreshed by thee, brother. The bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. He was a man of fellowship. When you were around Philemon, you walked away encouraged. When you spent some time with Philemon, you didn't walk away with your head hanging down and discouraged and depressed. Oh, God help us, believers. When we get done fellowshipping with somebody, they don't walk away discouraged or depressed or downhearted, but encouraged. The bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. We ought to be refreshing. Now, there's times we have to deal with difficult issues and difficult situations and difficult circumstances. But our fellowship ought to be refreshing. I believe here at Bible Baptist Church, we have refreshing fellowship. I believe when folks come in and they see our congregation, they don't go out saying, boy, what a bunch of unfriendly people. What a bunch of sourpusses. Man, they just sing those songs and don't act like they got an ounce of joy in there. I think we've got some refreshing around here. And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. We ought to be like Philemon, that when we have fellowship with one another, they're encouraged. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, but exhorting one another. That exhorting means by the preaching of the Word, the communication of the Word, by uplifting one another. Yes, there's some sermons that come from the pulpit that have to talk about sin and nail some different things, but we ought always to go away encouraged by the people of God and the things of God. Can we use Philemon as an example, as a man with qualities that we can pattern ourselves after? Can we be like Philemon? Can we be a friend to other Christians? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Can we be that kind of friend? I believe Philemon would have died for Paul if it came to that. And likewise, Paul for Philemon. Their friendship was so close. Can we be fellow laborers? Can we work together for a common cause? Can I tell you, if you're working to have the biggest 401k, you might have the greatest disaster since the 1930s on your hands. If things don't go the right direction. Because the ways of man are always teetering. But when we put our efforts and our labors into the Lord's work, and I'm not talking about quitting our jobs and going full-time into God's service. I'm just saying, talk about serving God every moment of every day, wherever we are. Can we be fellow laborers? Can we be family people, ladies as well as men? Can we be dedicated to our families? If we were dedicated to our families, our society wouldn't have the mess it has right now. Can we be people of faith? Can we be people of finance? Can we be people of fellowship? Philemon sets an example for each and every one of us. A challenge, a goal to set up there, a standard to shoot for. Those that do the high jump in track and field, I'm always amazed when I see these long-legged guys jumping over this pole that's 7 foot high in the ground. They just run up to it and jump and go over that thing. You know, they didn't start by setting that at 7 foot and make that their goal. They started by having it a little lower. They reached that goal, and once they reached it, they set it higher. Once they got to that one, they reached it and set it higher yet again. And they kept moving it up until they get to the level of which they are to compete in the Olympics on a national level, on a worldwide level. Because they kept raising their goals. Too many times we're satisfied when we reach our low goals. Philemon is a man of high character. He was a man of high quality. He was a man whom we can set as a high goal to achieve great heights. The man, Philemon. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.